Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The first 4 hours were simply in a moose-boosh.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
Kenny, we might get a...
Extend Technologies, yes.
We might get a live update from the Jake Paul press conference.
Ooh.
Tim Richards is there or on his way over there.
Tim Rocket Richards?
Yes.
All right.
And so potentially, we might get an update.
Extend Technologies. XTENDAV.com. I love that that's how I said it. It wasn't the emerging podcast scene. Welcome. I just went, Extend Technologies. Hello. Check them out online first. XTENDAV.com. Tony's great. Jay's great. Have you met Jay yet?
I have. I was going to ask you, Kenny.
Are Jay O'Hanlon.
Are you more TV or unbelievable projector?
I still think I'm classic TV.
Yeah. I keep seeing in these houses that I've been looking at, a lot of projector setups.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
of course,
yeah,
they take the projector. Them. They leave the wall up. They leave the...
Okay, I'm glad you brought this up. If you want your house transformed, Extend Technologies. Now let me tell the story. So we have a great family that moved down the street from us, that moved to the house that's down the street from us now. They're called the Bresslers, and they're wonderful people. I shouldn't probably say their last name, but hell, it's a podcast, right? Like six people are
listening.
You
just doxed them.
So they're wonderful people, and they were telling us about the house that they bought, and I remember I was like... So people, when they move, they take, like, weird things with them. And I have made weird offers to people. In the two houses I bought, I was like, hey, let me keep this. Let me keep that. I walked through your house. I like this. Let me buy it from you. That type of thing. I remember I tried to buy a High Life sign from the guy who owned my house. And he said, oh, that has sentimental value or something like that. I'm like, all right. I don't need some song and dance.
Just you couldn't a contingency? You couldn't make this happen?
So when they moved the family down the street, which I guess – they were not nice to everybody except for me. They were very nice to me.
Oh.
And so I wish them all the success
in
the world.
They call you Jolly.
In the future endeavors. Well, that's fine being called Jolly. Yeah. I don't know why people have a problem with me being called Jolly. And they had a in-ground or like poured concrete basketball hoop that you put in the ground.
Yeah.
They took the hoop.
Oh, why?
With them. It's their hoop.
Because
they were moving to a place that did not have a place where they would put a hoop.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the hoop with them. And so when you said projector screen, they take the projector with them. It's like, well, depending on where you're going, maybe you want a new projector screen. That's why you go to Extend Technologies. Yeah. And they have them like right there in the base now where it's not up on the ceiling anymore.
It's incredible. I didn't know the technology existed, the short throw projectors.
Oh, it does.
And now that I see that they do, they could turn any room. It doesn't matter the size, doesn't matter the ceiling, doesn't matter any of that. You can have a big-time projector setup or really whatever you need.
It's better than anything else. XTENDAV.com. Make your home dreams come true with Extend Technologies. I tried to step in it. I tweeted out what I think are my top five most respected Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you ready for that?
Yes, because I'm wondering, can any of those also double as a most hated Steeler?
As far as?
Well, for instance, Hines Ward was a hated Steeler, but I have to respect him.
What?
I think Browns fans hate Hines Ward, but I think they respect the hell out of him. I respect the hell out of...
Ooh, I like this now.
I respect the hell
out
Sam.
Of... Damn,
Sam. Well, we've done this with John Elway. And when it's all said and done...
I respect John Elway.
When it was said and done. I don't think you could respect him when he was beating you and going to the Super Bowl. I think Browns fans had to root against him in the Super Bowl every time. But when he went to those Super Bowls with Terrell Davis, years down the road, with Shanahan, I don't think you could root for John Elway, but if he won, could you say, you know what? That's going to be one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. And if we're going to lose to somebody, better him than Joe Flacco. You know what I mean? Or something like that. Better him than Bubby Brister.
Okay, fair. That's fair.
Can you imagine?
I don't like John Elway, but I respected John
What
Elway.
I'm saying is, can you imagine if the Browns had been denied opportunities to go to the Super Bowl by Bubby Brister?
Yes. Like, wait.
That would have... What I'm saying is, when it's all said and done...
I'm trying to look at the reactions to my top five.
You want it to be... When all said and done, you wanted Michael Jordan to be one of the best ever because he stopped you.
You got... Yeah. I didn't want to be... I don't want
you don't
to
want it to be
the,
Dwight Howard, Hedo Turkoglu.
Let's call it what it... Yeah, let's call it what it is. I'd rather be stopped by those Golden State Warriors teams than this Suns team.
There.
Straight up.
Boom.
Straight up and down. I got LeBron James. I'd rather have a team stopped by the greatest collection of talent ever instead of that. But I have my top five most respected Steelers. You want me to go 5 through 1?
Do it.
Discuss? Okay. Number 5, Kevin Green. Number 4, no, you got nothing for
Kevin
me?
Green.
Kevin Green.
Man.
Really? You have a problem with that?
No. Am I wrong? Weren't there allegations of performance enhancers with
I'm
Kevin
sure
Green?
There. I just assumed there were.
I didn't know if that would change.
He was a pro wrestler and a football player in the 90s. I imagine that there were.
I didn't know if that would change your mind if that were the case. And I'm not.
God rest his soul.
This might be reckless speculation, but though. But
that probably is reckless speculation. But even if there were allegations, I don't know, man. Like, at first I was outraged about baseball, and then I grew up. And
right.
When it's like that, it's like I'm not outraged about football, anything, whatever. I don't care. But I like Kevin Green. We had Mike Golic on the show before, and he admitted he was on the gas. Does that change anything? He admitted he did. He admitted he did the stuff. Mm-hmm. He was on the bleep. That didn't change anything to you, did it?
No.
Okay.
It didn't.
Number 4, Jack Lambert.
Yeah. Understand.
That guy's still a badass. He lives out in the middle of nowhere in Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And from Manaway, which is the town next to me.
Mantua.
That's how you know you're from here. It's Manaway, not Mantua. Check your phone, by the way, real quick. We might be able to get him on. I guess we're going to get a live call-in. I don't know how we do that on a podcast.
From a live press conference. We have a call-in line.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Number 3. You ready for number 3? Or do you want me to wait so you can type out your response?
Go ahead.
I say yes to the response, by the way, so whatever time you want him. Number 3, Mike Webster.
Okay.
From, I want to say he's from Wabasha, Wisconsin, which is a real I think it's a real town. And was a Wisconsin player and a great, great center. I saw his Hall of Fame induction speech.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad hates the Steelers. Now, my dad's not a Browns fan, but he hates the Steelers. And my dad told me how to, like you got to respect this guy. This guy's been through a lot. Because, like, those stories when he was a Hall of Famer, you heard about, like, we didn't know what CTE was
heartbreaking.
Yet. Yeah, we didn't know what it was yet, and he definitely had it, and we didn't know, and he was, like, living in his car. And
well, wasn't it the autopsy on him that is what took Dr. Omalu?
Like the brain of a toddler or something like
that? Yeah, and it's what ended up resulting in the massive controversy regarding CTE about whether or not the NFL knew all along that this was causing some brain disease and what they should do.
Yeah, and like when I look at the top five, like I sit there and I'm like, hey man, like I may hate the Steelers, but these ones are cool. Number 2, and there are other ones too. Number 2, Joe Green. Mean Joe Green.
Yeah, I'm just too young. I mean, All I know about Joe Green is the commercial.
That's okay. That's fair. But I knew him as a football coach because he was a football coach for a long time. Yes, he was.
Where?
Pittsburgh,
I didn't know that.
I thought I know he's with the Dolphins. Oh. I know he's with Pittsburgh. I want to say he's with the Rams for a while, too.
I don't remember that.
He's a football coach, and I actually I know the NFL makes all their guys out to be good guys. The football life, Joe Green, a football life, it's very good. Mm-hmm. Very good, and it changes. It doesn't change it because you always knew Joe Green was one of the good guys, but Mean Joe definitely number two. Number one, Rocky Blyer. That's easy because of Vietnam, mm-hmm. the foot injury, him having to go through rehab, coming back, part of that backfield. Easily Rocky Blyer. So, and I would say, I have a great deal of respect for Chuck Knoll because he's from Cleveland, and I think there's a lot of guys, like there's the Frank Cushes of the world who were screamers, yellers, master motivators, and Chuck Knoll was very stoic and very X's and O's, and he also enjoyed a great deal of other things, and he's the guy I always reference when we talk about instant replay. Because he was one of the first people to it going, you guys are not going to like this. They're going to start looking for things that are not what they're looking for. He goes, it seems like it's a good idea at the beginning. It's not going to be a good idea at the end. You guys are not going to like this. And sure as hell, we get more people year after year after year bitching and moaning about replay. And I totally agree with him. And, you know, I got to respect the Roonies. And I still think it's a business. Some people got upset with me because I said, listen, this is a business decision here. All right? This is a business decision. A business decision to vote against Steelers because you know that the Browns are going to move, all right? You know they're going to move. And I do believe that for the Rooney family, they wanted to protect the rivalry a little bit. I get that. Now, and they might have been their thing. But it's a good move to vote against the move because if you don't know that Cleveland is ever going to get football back, you would assume, that Detroit's going to get some of those fans, and Buffalo's going to get some of those fans, but you're going to get some of those fans too.
Sure, of course.
And I could see where Pittsburgh was like, because, you know, it was also Buffalo who voted against. It's geographical. We do not have some – I mean, we've played Buffalo in playoff games before 89, things like that. But you've played Buffalo in playoff games, but also you have to remember, like, that is geographically close. We don't have a big rivalry with them. We do have a big rivalry with Pittsburgh. But it just makes good business sense going, well, those people are going to be football fans. And if they can't be fans of their team in Cleveland, then they can be fans in Buffalo. Or they can be fans.
What do you think about, by the way, Buffalo should have been somehow, some way. I know there's a lot of difficulty in logistics. Buffalo should have been with the Browns in the same division.
Oh yeah,
they should have been, and I don't know.
I
don't know if you started mixing and matching the divisions. I don't know how many divisions you need. I've always wondered, did the NFL, do you truly need 8 divisions? I understand why.
Well, it's just good math.
But that's a big part of it. I always thought, why are we just rewarding a team like last year, AFC East? Somebody has to NFC East. Somebody has to go. Washington Redskins, Washington Football Team. Why do you get an automatic slot for being better than 3 other teams?
I think it adds – I think a lot of people – I think it adds to the conversation.
It's such a random 3 other teams, though. It's just 3 teams.
It's true.
And sometimes not even regional. Like, if you look at how the divisions are, Dallas is in the NFC East. So it just so happens that you're better than 3 other teams, and one of them's not even in your region.
I think they need to do this how – that series, how the states got their shapes, how the NFL – Major League Baseball and the NBA pick their divisions, things like that. Like, because you would look at it, the NFC East is classic. Philadelphia is an old team. Washington's a very old team. The Giants are a very old team. The Cowboys are a relatively old team. It makes sense because Dallas is a big city out west, football crazed. You had Landry. It makes sense to put them in the same division with New Yorkers because it's west, east, Texas and the south, the north, New York. And there's a lot of transplant people who are fans of the Cowboys in all those markets. That made sense at that time. You know, I think if I go back, now I have to check this because I'm not right on everything, obviously. I want to say Cleveland was in the same division at one point.
As
those teams.
Oh, God.
Like, remember, because it was the Baltimore Colts. It wasn't Indianapolis.
I just remember the old AFC Central with the Houston Oilers.
Well, see, that was fun, too, because you didn't only have good teams. That division, I don't think we make a big enough deal about that division. About the old NFC South. I'm not talking Jaguars. Mm-hmm. I'm talking Houston. You know what I'm saying here.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, Jacksonville was in.
Jacksonville was part of
it. Was in our division.
But at one time you had Chuck Knoll, the emperor, the elder statesman. Mm-hmm. You had Belichick. You had Rettigliano. Who else did you have in there? I keep wanting to say Blanton Collier. That's not it.
Oh.
Carson. You had those guys in there, and they were like, you know, like a Schottenheimer. Schottenheimer is strong-willed, but you have Noel, Schottenheimer. Then at one point you have Jerry Glanville,
yep,
who will talk trash to anybody in the world. You have Sam Weish, who's, God rest his soul, was it? We had him right before he passed away, a few years before he passed away. Sam Weish was a great interview.
He was awesome.
And I know you don't want to live in Cleveland, but he made everything a rivalry. And like when they didn't they win like 60-7 one time against the Oilers, and they were going for two because Jerry Glanville. Like you had personalities there. It was very vitriolic. It was angry. I think that at one point was probably. I think you look back on it, that might be historically the most fun division in football, with those teams that were involved in that division. But if you go to it, like if you were to rework, I think you can always redraw the districts.
I just don't understand. All I'm saying is, are they only doing divisions because schedule is so important that they want to make sure everybody has the same schedule?
Yes, and you also want to keep people interested. Because if you find yourself, if you were to take it, say you were to just take, all right, let's get rid of four divisions. We'll have two divisions. We'll have East and West. All right? Cleveland and Buffalo. You got 16 each, so you'd play each team, and then all of a sudden now you're playing your side, so you wouldn't do it, so you wouldn't play every team twice. You might play every team once. That would affect your traditional rivalries against Pittsburgh, depending on how you do the scheduling. It would affect your traditional rivalries against Baltimore, so I don't think they want to do that. And it also, it keeps you interested. Who's going to slog it out in my division and get me to the postseason? Who's going to do it? Yeah, the NFC East was pathetic last year, but it kept people in.
Yeah, just the issue is competitive balance. The fact that, and I don't even remember who got to play Washington in the playoff game.
Tampa Bay.
But it's kind of
Washington
unfair.
Washington nearly won that game.
They actually did.
Yeah.
But it's kind of unfair. It's kind of unfair to the other teams. It's like, oh, they get what is supposed to be a walkthrough game. Because why? Because they were better than three other teams. It just never made sense to me.
It might not make sense from a top-down competitive standpoint, but from an entertainment standpoint, from how you look. I mean, look at Washington. Look how Washington's seen now. Ron Rivera found a way to get his team to the playoffs. Great coach. See, we've been telling you forever, Ron Rivera's a great coach. Got his team to the playoffs. Now you look at them and you think, hey, not too bad. They're a playoff team last year. Yeah, and the pathetic, terrible-ass NFC East. But, hey, playoff. But you think playoff team last year. Great defense. They might have the number one defense in the league going into this year. Ron Rivera. Now you got Ryan Fitzpatrick there. I'm interested. I'm listening. Now all of a sudden we're in. If we didn't do it that way, the interest isn't as much. And you go, man, we don't have a quarterback. We don't have this. We don't have that. Yeah, the defense is good, but who cares?
Yeah, I'm trying to think whose spot did they take.
Because I'll tell you this.
Who would have got in? If you just took the next best team that missed the playoffs.
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to look that up real quick. But you think about this. Like the Giants, what did I say about the Giants last week? And I got killed by Giants fans. I knew I would, but I said what I said and I meant it. The Giants to me and their fans sound like old Browns fans. The same old Browns fans from yesteryear being like 1999, save one season, really 2003 through 2019. Where you get excited about a quarterback, but the quarterback's really not that good. You try to get excited about this coach, but you know what? You couldn't win the worst division in football. The running back, you're waiting for Godot there. And then I had a bunch of people going, Ken, what about the defense? What about the defense? And I would go, yeah, James Bradbury. We had Joe Hayden. Yeah, we had those guys. Yeah, Leonard Williams. We had Courtney Brown. Like, we had guys. And, like, every team has good pieces. And I thought, that's the difference. If the Giants make the playoffs last year, how are we talking about Daniel Jones? How are we talking about the return, possibly, of Saquon Barkley, who may still not be ready for week one, by the way?
His workout videos look good.
how are we going to be ready, or how would we talk about that team? So making the playoffs, even in a terrible, crappy division, still makes a difference. Just made for appearances. And plus, Tyler Hinkie didn't go out, whatever the kid's name is.
Oh.
He didn't go out there and embarrass himself.
Heinicke,
thank you. He didn't go out there and embarrass himself. He didn't do that. So I'm fine with it. Extend Technologies. I know you're going to be fine with them. XTENDAV.com. That's XTENDAV.com. If you want it, your home transformed the right way, you call Extend Technologies. All right? Online first. XTENDAV.com. And not just transformed, but really brought into the 21st century the way you want it taken care of. It's great. And it's expert installation, custom installation. And again, let me remind you, they are hiring AV installers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The way it meant to be done.
Great company to work for.
Great company to work for. For whatever reason, people are scheduling interviews, and then they don't show up to their interviews, which is something we need to talk about on the show tomorrow.
Well, good luck doing that with the political landscape, what it is.
What?
There's not a day goes by.
Okay,
that I don't talk
need to name names.
That I don't talk to a business owner. I was getting at a sandwich shop. And I can tell you where. I went to a sandwich shop, and within 2 minutes, the conversation went to, I can't find any workers. And then he started getting political. And I'm just like, I understand it. I understand it, but it's tough to have those conversations without it going political.
Fine, I won't talk about it. We won't talk about it, fine. You watching the Open tomorrow before the show?
This was kind of cool to walk in. It's, you know, when I walk in, it's 5:59. And to see that already, like, Rahm was on his fifth hole. And I'm like, what time do these guys start? I love that we get so much coverage of the Open Championship. By the way, huge debate online in the golf community, whether it should be called the British Open or the Open Championship. Now, I've always said the Open Championship because I kind of thought it sounded cooler than the British Open.
I think you're right.
But I don't have a reason. It's not like I'm sitting here going, it's the Open Championship and nothing else. So I don't really care what you call it. I always laugh at just how different what's the first thing I said to you today, Ken? I go, not a tree on that course. But they it's just, if you were to...
What type of grass is that?
Oh, they have fescue.
That's the fescue?
Yeah, they have a lot of fescue. No, they're just the actual fairways are made, I thought, of fescue. But
wow.
The mowed down fescue. But
what about the cuculia?
Oh, you'll see that in the great Northwest.
Oh, okay.
I laugh because the courses, you know, everybody always wants to go on one of those trips to play St. Andrews, to play all those courses. And you were asking me how much money they are. And I said, you know, they have history. That's what those courses have. That's what's cool about going to, like, Canterbury. The history at Canterbury that a caddy will tell you about something Bobby Jones did or Jack Nicklaus or Arnold Palmer. Like, that's cool. And then you go into the locker room and they have their lockers. They have their – and that's kind of a normal thing. You actually see that at a lot of different places, but it is pretty cool. I always thought that was really awesome. So there's a lot of history, and the fact that you're playing the same course, relatively speaking, as one of the all-time greats. And so when people go to St. Andrews, they all take the same picture at the same spot. I almost said Ray's Creek, as if that's at St. Andrews. You know, me, established golf, golfing guy. That's right. But if you transported those courses to Streetsboro, or to Chesterlin.
Ah.
The whole defense mechanism they have is the wind. The wind is what they have to battle it.
Yeah.
It just depends, you know, from day to day. And the guys are scoring very well today, at least upon us. Look at the scoreboard. Last time we checked, it was a healthy leaderboard.
It's like 13-mile-an-hour wind.
And it's not the 25-30.
Yeah.
If it gets to 25-30, there are holes that you go from a wedge in to all of a sudden you're at a 6-iron.
Yeah.
Huge difference. And so that's the difficulty in playing those courses, other than the history, you know, the beauty of the history. They're expensive, too.
I asked you, I assume they were expensive. See, because I said, I go, man, if I go to England, I want to golf in England someday. Like, I've never been to England. I don't know if I did actually get on a plane to go that far. But either way, I'd never been to England. And I said, if I ever go to England, I want to golf. But I said, I would golf anywhere in England just to golf in England. But now that I think about it, if I come back and I tell people that I went golfing in England, they're going to want a place that they play at like they play the Open at. Yeah. They want one of those courses. I can't just say, oh, is it Bob's course in Ireland? And that's no. Like, you can't do that. It has to be, like, one of the big ones.
Oh, it'd be funny if you ended up going to Scotland or whatever, playing Loch Lomond, which they used to have the time right before.
This guy.
And it wasn't even a British Open course. It was, like, an American course teleported overseas.
See, I can't, but that's why I can't do that. I can't do it. And I would want to just to play. And I don't want to spend $500 on a round of golf when I'm not even good at golf.
Yeah. Oh, it's expensive. And a lot of people go there that aren't good at golf.
Oh, so I can go there and be okay?
Well, you're just going to spend a ton of money.
Do we have a special guest who's going to join us?
Oh, this is going to be great. So we are going out to the hotline. I believe we have Tim Richards ready to go, who has now made his way. He's breached the queue, or what formerly known as the queue.
He's in the breach.
Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. And he is covering the press conference coming up here in about 25 minutes for – Jake Paul, Tyron Woodley, Tim Richards, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, how are you guys? Yeah, just made it here, man. Just got in. We're on the floor of Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, as you mentioned. Things get started about 25 minutes or so. And from what I've been told, they will, and you can see this, well, you can't see the seats, but they have two seats on stage. They're ready to do a little bit of a face-off or a picture op. And then they're going to take some Q&A from the audience. And it's amazing because I was just telling a couple of the people here, was talking to them, and they said that people are really, really excited about this. And I don't know. I mean, are you guys in on this? Like, this is going to be a big, big event.
Tim, we talked about it on the air today, much to the disgust of many listeners. And I think to the disgust of Ken Carmen, because we were trying to figure out.
I'm not disgusted. Well, I'm not disgusted.
Well, we know these are novelty fights. I do take Jake Paul seriously. He has been training. Tyron Woodley is a MMA fighter, was a pretty big deal about, 8 years ago.
Andy just sent me this picture. Hold on. Keep going.
I want to know from you, and what is the general thought of people you're talking to in there about how big of a fight this is going to be, how many seats they realistically think they're going to sell, because we're trying to figure out who exactly is the audience for this.
That's so funny. That was the first question after I got the media credential. That was the first question that I asked them. I said, all right, if you're realistic, and it's probably tough to project what it's going to be, what it's going to sell. So how's it going to do? And what they said, I said, are we talking 10,000? Are we talking sellout? What are we talking? And from what they said, well, obviously we don't know, but to project something like that's tough. But they said we expect it to do very, very well. Now, I don't know where that's at. But, I mean, there's a ton of people. As you mentioned, there's social media following crazy. I mean, Tyron Woodley, legit. He's going to move up from, usually fighting, I think, 170. They're both at 190. I mean, there's an argument for the WWE aspect, but there's also an argument for the legitimacy factor as well.
All right. I have a question for you to ask if you can summon the microphone to you during the Q&A.
I'd love it. Give it to me.
You have to ask Jake Paul if he wins this fight. Is he the biggest athlete in Cleveland sports history?
You have to do it, Tim.
I have to get the mic. If I can get the mic, that question's being asked.
Every TV station will run with it. I think the national reaction. And you need to even mention, say, listen, we all know about Stipe Miocic and what he accomplished in this building. We know what LeBron James accomplished in this building. But if you, Jake Paul, conquer this MMA hero, are you now the biggest to ever perform here?
Yeah.
He says yes, right?
He will go on and on.
Yes.
He'll make a fool of himself.
100% say yes and go on.
You have to do it. We need the content for tomorrow. You have to do
In
it.
In fact,
okay?
I got another one you can ask somebody else to ask.
What?
Okay. You can say, Tim, or you can give this to somebody else, whoever it is. It could be anybody else. Say, we just got this tweet from Dana White who says you are a total joke and a fraud. And you can make it up. You can make it up. It won't really be a tweet or anything from Dana White. Just make something up completely and say Dana White thinks that the two of you in a handicap match couldn't beat Stipe Miocic.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And then you'd get trash talk. Because I think eventually what's going to happen is Jake Paul is going to fight Stipe Miocic.
That's going to end badly. Yeah, you're right, and that will end bad. I can. Because what am I going to do? Look that up? I don't have to sign a source. If I just ask a question and just him and Haw and ask it and see what he says, I like both of those. I got to try to get out there. And I mean, it's busy. I mean, there are people in the stands. There are people. It's the way it's set up. The Jumbotron's lowered to the floor. There's plenty of seating here, but there's a lot of people here. So I don't know who's doing the Q&A. I don't know. I just got here, so I can't get a feel for everybody. But, I mean, there are a lot of people here just to check out, this kind of premiere, if you will.
Boy, I really wonder. I want to ask our fans tomorrow if this is exciting to have such a big event that's going to be global and nationwide. People are going to check it out on pay-per-view, or it's Showtime. Showtime pay-per-view, August 29th at 8 o'clock. Or whether they think this is an all-new low for the queue for Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. I want to know.
Yeah, like one or the other. Yeah, I don't know. You know, people obviously, as we know, they're out and about. They're ready to roll. I mean, I always also wonder, and we push it a lot, is, you know, the Jake Paul local aspect. Does that have any spin? Do people care about that? Is that a big thing from here? You know,
see,
I don't think
Ken and I have talked about this.
Yeah.
We don't think he has really claimed Cleveland in a big way, but he's going to have to. He's going to have to today at that press conference.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. So I'm curious, like you said, ticket sales, people watching it. I mean, we'll have to find out, but they're certainly amped up here, and they think that it's going to do, once again, very, very well is the expectations from what I was told.
We know final question. We know Barstool Sports is going to be a part of this promotion. So I imagine David Portnoy is going to be there. I'm curious about that component of this because
that's a great
everything
question.
And they're in the combat
is
world.
Is El Presidente going to be there?
I think he might. And they're in the combat world. They do a lot of those weird
rough
fights.
Rough
and rowdies.
Those are something.
So they know how to get people watching. They've had like a million people watch that before streaming.
Yeah, that's big, and that's a great angle as well. So I've got to look for that. I've got to look at who else is here and wander more. And then I've got two questions, one that I can ask, one that I'm going to pawn off on somebody else. So that's
beautiful.
My personal agenda while I'm here.
All right, Tim, can't wait. And then obviously you're going to have to come down the hallway tomorrow and fill us in on the air.
Yes, this is going to be great.
All right, Tim from Jim.
All right, thanks, guys.
Star 102, Tim, thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
That's going to make Jen very happy to hear that.
He's pumped. You can tell. He is fired up to do it. Does that make you kind of fired up? Would you have wanted to see the Q&A and the spectacle if we didn't have to go, if we had other things to do?
No.
I kind of wanted to be a part
then
of that
go.
Q&A. I can't.
Are you allowed to go? You're not allowed to go?
I got to go. I'm golfing.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah, that's right, with Cliff. And then you're golfing at another country club that my mom used to deliver papers to back in the day. God forbid I'd love to say that I got to golf there from way back when, but I don't get to do it because I didn't go to Ohio State. Wow, congratulations on all your success. Andy sent me a picture. Jake Paul looks serious as hell. Look at him. He looks serious as hell. That's the most serious I've ever seen that kid look.
Oh, yeah. In the poster.
Look at his ass. He looks tough.
Predict the shenanigan.
He looks tough.
Predict the shenanigan.
You can't take a hat. The hat's already been taken.
That's played out. Taking the hat is played out. Will he slap him in the face?
There's going to be a slap.
Oh, my God. Woodley would kill him. Woodley would then spear him to the ground and kill him.
No, they probably decided already.
Oh, you think it's all a shoot?
Yes, yes. No, it's all a work.
Yeah.
It's all a work. Speaking of works and shoots, time for congratulations on all your success.
Nice, Spano.
Nice.
When you need a Dear Abby so you don't end up with a Dear John.
Congratulations.
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 Congratulations on all your success.
Two of the three people who did that sound like they're secretly jealous. This comes from Gabe. Here we go. You ready? My wedding is this Saturday, and I need some music advice on the reception. I personally love hip-hop and newer music, but still like classic rock and 90s hits and whatnot. However, my fiance and I are stuck on what songs for everyone, such as the older guests, to get on the dance floor. Could you and Lima give us some good wedding songs that could really get the multi-age crowd going? This is urgent. You don't have a DJ? Isn't that what the DJ's supposed to do? That's my line of advice.
Yeah, friend of the show.
Damn DJ involved.
This is tough because everybody thinks
what you pay his ass for
that they can go cheap in these situations, and this is where you unfortunately cannot go cheap. You cannot go cheap. Wedding photographer is another thing. You absolutely cannot
go cheap. Yeah, when you get to that level, $500 is a drop in the bucket. Just pay the damn $500.
$500. I wish it was just $500.
Well, you're not paying a band. You're paying a DJ.
How much
does a DJ need?
I know. Well, yeah, that's the thing. My guess is they're probably having somebody hook up their phone, and it's
a dangerous game
to play. Because here's another thing that's going to happen. Once people catch wind that this is an amateur DJ
then
setup,
they take over.
Then they want to take over. They all want to get in on this. And now you won't get 30 seconds through a song.
So
Skip it.
It's the worst. That's why you need a DJ, because the DJ is part cop.
Yes.
The DJ is the one who decides it. That's why when we went to Goodnight John Boy and Members Only Dave would not take requests, I so respected him for that and wanted
it
to
shake. It is the right move.
I want to shake your hand. I wanted to shake his hand because I go, that takes gumption. That takes standing your ground.
Yes.
Because when you bring that up, I immediately became red-faced pissed for like 2 seconds. So,
drunk people always want their own songs.
4th of July. Our friends come over. These are the people that set Liz and I up, right? Now, they're married now, and they have a kid, and we're married. We got 3 kids, this whole thing. And so I go to make a 4th of July mix. And I should have known it. I should have known better, because really what they did, they pissed all over the thing. They pissed all over. I mean, hosed it down with dirty old piss. Like, that's how much that they were – that's how nasty they were about my playlist, my 4th of July playlist. And I got so mad. And the thing is, they do it, and they do it all the time. And I'm always like, I'm going to learn my lesson. And I never learn my lesson. I go, I worked in music radio. I worked next to 3 music radio stations. They are all – one is hot, one is contemporary, the other one is classic rock. You're telling me I don't know how to mix music? BS. You don't know your ass from a hole in the ground in music, and you don't know what you like. I do. But you guys get drunk, and then you guys start going, let's play Christopher Cross. And you play Christopher Cross for 15 minutes, and then, let's play Alanis Morissette. You play Alanis Morissette for 15 seconds, and then you just keep switching through, and it becomes mind-numbing, and it angers me.
And everyone's going to be mad.
And if I tell them, and this happens all the time, my wife Liz, my friend Brett, and his wife, who's still my friend, Francesco, I call Franco. They all do it. I tell them that their taste in music is bleep, and then they come after me about it. And it's all 3 gang up on me. And I'm like, I'm the one who knows music. You guys don't know your ass from a hole in the ground. That's why you need a DJ. So figure out a DJ. Get a DJ. They'll play Earth, Wind, and Fire. The older people will get on the dance floor. The younger people get on the dance floor. Tell me you find a bad Earth, Wind, and Fire song during a wedding. It's impossible. It's everybody on there.
And you have your songs. Every group's going to have your songs that are curated for you that you're asking for. Put those at the end. The whole point is you need the older people to get the party started. They want to get out and dance. I've seen it so many times. They do. Just because they're a little older and they're the parents and you think you're too cool to see that, they are the ones that get the party started. Then they make way for the younger crowd that closes down the night. So that always is something you have to cater to them too. And remember, they're also the ones paying for this. They're also the ones giving you the big gifts.
Yeah.
It's not your kids. It's not your friends who just graduated from college.
That's so true.
You're not getting the big envelopes from them. You're getting the big envelopes for the people that raised you and their friends.
Yeah, and you know what? You're right about that. And your friends will dance to whatever.
Yes, they will.
Because they're power drinking and they'll get drunk. The older people, they're having 1 or 2 drinks and they're going home.
Now
they got bed.
They got bed by time.
So they're going to have a nice dance with each other, have some dinner, have a couple of drinks, and they're going home. And then you and your friends can play all the trap music you want to and get sloppy drunk and ruin your wedding night. You can do that later. But at the beginning, it's time to honor the older people. You're right about that.
What is your stance on the late night food situation, which has become customary at weddings?
Have a plan.
That didn't used to be. When I was younger, they didn't just bring in food at the end of the night. Like the actual place, the hall, there were all these Italian halls. They'd always have some pizza and stuff. Now it's Swenson's full spread at the end of the wedding, just sitting there. And it's a great idea because you do need to soak up the alcohol big time. But the more and more, as the older I've gotten, I've seen this has become customary that people like cater in their favorite fast food or their favorite pizza from somewhere, and it's all ready to go at the end. It's pretty cool.
I would say some pizza's fine. But have something at the end. And I would always say, we have the hall until 11. Make sure you can squeeze it out to 11:30 or whatever.
At a wedding in Chicago. They had Swenson's brought in from Chicago. I mean, from Akron. They went to high school down there.
Weren't they cold? Weren't the burgers cold?
Well, they heated them up there. I think Swenson's shipped it to them and frozen and all that stuff.
Good on you, but that's a little too much effort.
Yep.
I'm sure there's a nice burger place in Chicago.
But they wanted Swenson's. That's what they wanted.
It's your wedding. You get what you want. That's the thing about your wedding day compared to my wedding day and eventually your wedding day. All right. That is the podcast brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. That's XTENDAV.com. They can hear you. You are not being quiet. Online first, XTENDAV.com. You go there. You check out their website. And, again, if you're looking for a job, there's no place better. Extend Technologies. Tony takes care of his employees. You will enjoy it.
How about this? If you get a job there, if you go and interview, sack up, do the interview, show them your skills, you get hired, we will talk about you in our ads for Extend Technologies.
Yes.
Boom.
Right then and there. Bingo, bango, bongo. Extend Technologies. Online first. You know the website by now. All right. We're back Tuesday with the podcast, the emerging podcast scene. We're back tomorrow morning, 6 until 10. Mac went on a video date. For social distancing.
Oh, I love it.
We will discuss that. I will bring that up tomorrow. Now I'm just dragging this out so you don't have to push the button.
I'm trying to hit the disconnect.
We'll talk to you in the morning. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.